The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to one of the Valkyries, Hillary Clinton, boasting about the killing of Gaddafi. It is a tragic situation that we are facing, and it's no laughing matter. But when you hear Hillary Clinton laughing after the killing of Gaddafi, and you have to hear this to believe it, you have to understand what we're looking at here is that we've gone from the ivory tower to the loss of power, literally in one administration. That's right. Write it down, steal it, and make it into a bumper sticker. I wrote it 5 minutes ago. From the ivory tower to the loss of power in one administration. You have three women being called the Valkyries because of their bloodthirstiness and the chooser of the slain. If you look into Norse mythology, you'll understand what the Valkyrie means from Old Norse Valkyria, meaning chooser of the slain. In other words, female warriors who are now strutting about with their machismo, thinking that they are so wise because they have ordered the killing of enemies. Do they understand the unintended consequences of their position? Do they have any idea, Hillary Clinton and Samantha Powers and Valerie Jarrett Susan Rice, do they have any idea what their leftist insanity has wrought? I don't think so. I believe they are surrounded by yes women, to the extent that they don't even understand what they have created here. In the ivory tower, occupied by the academics in his administration, real men are not welcome. So it has fallen to three women, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Ambassador to the UN, Susan Rice, and leftist policy wonk Samantha Power, by the way, married to Cass Sunstein, to actually decide that we should go to war against Libya. This decision to go to war against Gaddafi, by the way, reveals just how flimsy Obama's foreign policy was in the testosterone-free zone known as the Obama White House. Believe it or not, I wrote this in Trickle Down Tyranny on page 147. Trickle Down Tyranny, page 147. I tried to warn you what was coming, but many people, well, I would say some of you who respect my writings and my broadcasts, bought the book, read the book, and said amen. But you have no idea what they have wrought because we are not being told what Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, and Samantha Power have actually done. The fact of the matter is you've only seen the beginning of what's coming. The tyranny that they have unleashed in the Middle East will come home to haunt us here in this United States. Just yesterday on this program, when we were remembering the fallen on 9/11/2001, I asked you on this program, do you think the Muslim fanatics are still at war with us? Many of you said, ah, not really. The media says, nah, it's old stuff. Don't remember any of that. But remember what I warned you. I warned you that they're still at war with us. And God knows that these attacks yesterday were coordinated to coordinate with 9/11. They were saying, we have never forgotten, we never will forget what we want to do to you. We want to subjugate you. We want to introduce Sharia law in your country. And with little help from Politico and CNN and MSNBC and the others on the left, we are winning. We are winning and you are losing. And so the fact of the matter is, while Gaddafi was a certifiably bad man, the unintended consequences of throwing him out is what you saw happening yesterday where a U.S. ambassador was killed. in the most violent way. I told you in trickle-down tyranny, and I'm going to read you what I wrote. I told you that these Ivy Leaguers have everything backwards. In reality, the doctrine that they have created is a convenient excuse to selectively intervene in the internal affairs of our Middle Eastern allies in order to hasten their downfall and hasten the formation of Islamist governments. Emphasis on the last part of that sentence. Hasten the formation of Islamist governments. Why is it that Obama seems to want Islamist governments as our allies? In other words, Obama sees our allies in a way I don't. The fact of the matter is, Samantha Power, who was a strong proponent of this misguided doctrine, is she who convinced Hillary Clinton to change her position to enter into combat in Libya and destroy Gaddafi. It was Samantha Power who did this. Like the president himself, the three women who declared war on Libya are all products of the leftist academic incubator that passes for an educational system in the United States. Page 148, Trickle-Down Tyranny. The first thing you need to know about Samantha Power is that she's married to Cass Sunstein. I explained to you in Chapter 6 about Sunstein. He's the wacko leftist Harvard Law School graduate and former University of Chicago professor who was appointed by Obama to the position of regulatory czar. He hates gun owners and the Second Amendment, which protects the right of individuals to own firearms. He opposes hunting, a legal pastime of some 12 million Americans. He's described the suffering of animals inflicted by hunters as morally equivalent to slavery and the mass extermination of human beings. So he is a gun grabber. He hates the NRA. He hates private gun ownership in the United States. He is the husband of the woman who authorized the killing of Gaddafi. The fact is Samantha Power, his wife, shares Sunstein's and Obama's leftist credentials and their political views. She also graduated from the bastion of leftists that Harvard Law School has become. Power was part of the Obama presidential campaign until she called Hillary Clinton a monster and had to resign. After the election, she took a position as Obama foreign policy advisor. Remember what I'm telling you right now. This did not happen by accident. This death of the United States ambassador to Libya was not incubated overnight. In fact, it was Samantha Power who brought about this death, and it's only the beginning of many deaths to come because, as I said to you earlier, we've gone in one administration from the ivory power to the loss of power, not only in the Middle East but around the world. Samantha has been a longtime proponent of George Soros's so-called responsibility to protect. In fact, her position on this issue won her a Pulitzer Prize, another leftist award. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, another Ivy League law school egghead, she went to Yale, you see, is the second member of this unholy trio. During her husband's presidency, the Clintons requested that the subject of Hillary's senior thesis not be made public. That's because the thesis was entitled, "There Is Only the Fight, an Analysis of the Alinsky Model." Was highly favorable to the methods of radical leftist political organizer Saul Alinsky, who Hillary described as a man of exceptional charm. As I explained to you in Chapter 5 of Trickle-Down Tyranny, Alinsky is known as the father of community organizing, and we have him to thank for our community organizer president's views on many issues, including that on Libya and on Egypt. I'm not going to read this to you because I hope you have the book in your hands and you can pick it up from page 150. We're now going to go to the issue at hand today. That is the killing of a U.S. ambassador, which is an act of war, a declaration of war. And in fact, in any sane administration, there would have been a repercussion today. I need not tell you that you and I both know there will only be a Carter-esque type of reaction. And that is an outrage because it's only going to get worse. If you care to comment on this tragedy in the Middle East, where not only was the ambassador brutally killed, but two U.S. Marines who were there to defend them, by the way, who have names, were also massacred by the practitioners of the religion of peace. When I take your calls on the Savage Nation, try to contain yourself, because I'm not going to permit any violent statements to go out on the air. We all know where violence leads. We have to understand that the vermin in the media, instead of attacking the Islamists who killed our ambassador, joined up together and jumped on Romney for daring to criticize King Obama. We no longer have a democracy, do we? We have a monarchy in this country. where the king is all-knowing, the king is all-powerful, the king is all-wise, and if the king is attacked or questioned even, anyone who questions the king is automatically an enemy of the state. A report came out this morning in the Weekly Standard by Daniel Halper that the press coordinated questions to ask Romney. They were talking to each other on an open mic, and they had a press, sound of the press talking to each other, CBS reporter to an unidentified reporter to another reporter, saying we all have to stick to one question. Just keep asking the same question on Romney. Keep asking him, do you stand by your statement or regret your statement? Here we now have exactly what I predicted in 1998 in my seminal speech at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco when I wrote a speech, long forgotten, entitled Beware the Government Media Complex. When you see men like the stooges at Politico acting as mouthpieces for Obama, and you see one stooge after another on, and I don't even have to name the alphabet channels because they're all about the same, it's enough to make you understand we've lost our democracy and how we've gone only not only gone from the ivory tower to the loss of power internationally, but we've gone from the ivory tower to the loss of freedom of speech in one administration. We are in very deep trouble. And I want to conclude this monologue by saying thank God Mitt Romney had the guts and the brains to say what he said today. He said exactly the right thing. He should be praised for criticizing the dictator, the incompetent dictator that we have in the White House. I want you to listen to clip two and tell me if you think Romney was wrong or right. Go ahead.
I think it's a terrible course for America to stand in apology for our values. That instead, when our grounds are being attacked and being breached, that the first response of the United States must be outrage at the a breach of the sovereignty of our nation. And apology for America's values is never the right course.
Good for him. And that was worthy of criticism in order to avoid having to criticize the madness of the Islamist mobs in the Middle East brought about by Obama and the Valkyries around him. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So Hillary Clinton said, we came, we saw, he died, and they giggled over it. I don't know if you missed that tape. It's astounding. It's on the internet somewhere. You've got to listen to this. This murder of our ambassador and his staff in Libya is a direct result not of the anti-Islamic film produced in the United States. It is a direct result of the Valkyries around Obama who are bloodthirsty and apparently on the warpath against the wrong forces. I want you to listen again to our Secretary of State after Gaddafi was murdered in cold blood.
We came, we saw, he died.
How do you feel about women laughing over the murder of a man? These are women who profess a love for human rights and justice for people on death row for 30 years. I'll tell you who has it exactly right. It's the Russians. The Russians are so smart compared to the idiots in the American media. I don't know what country they're living in this country. I want to read you something out of Moscow that just came out of the New York Times, written by Ellen Barry, because it's very telling. Upon learning of the violent death of the United States ambassador to Libya on Wednesday, many Russians responded with variations on, I told you so. You see, Russia has long argued that the West should not support popular uprisings against dictatorships in the Middle East, lest Islamic fundamentalism take hold. By the way, I'm going to pause here. That's exactly my position in Trickle Down Tyranny and on this radio show. Are these eggheads in the White House that naive to think that Islamists are going to love them? Are you people that nuts? So in other words, we put them in power and they thanked us by killing our ambassador. Is that it? So let me continue with the article. Vladimir Putin, then serving as prime minister, was especially enraged last fall after an angry crowd killed his ally, Colonel Muammar al-Gaddafi, an event he later condemned as a repulsive, disgusting scene. He's absolutely right. They did not bring him to trial, by the way. They butchered him in cold blood, and Hillary laughed about it. I'll go back to the article. Since then, Russia has blocked Western initiatives to force Syria's president Bashar al-Assad from power, despite a bloody crackdown on the opposition. Russians' responses to the storming of the American consulate in Benghazi underlined the deep policy divide. A primetime news report pointedly juxtaposed images of Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens' death with Colonel Gaddafi's, pointing at their similarities. This is in Russia. Then cut the footage of Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton reacting to the Libyan leader's death with a cursory, wow. Deputy Foreign Minister Mikhail Mogilev said that passions had been stoked by the uprisings and that they splash out in the form of terrorist acts, of massacres of non-believers, or an attack on embassies and consulates, close quote. See, the Russians have it exactly right. Our dummies from the academic left have no idea what their idiocy has wrought. But the Russians, who have been there and done that, understand what is going on in the world to an extent the American diplomacy corps should be embarrassed and learn from them. I'll go back to the article. The frequency of these outbursts, unfortunately, has been growing since the, quote, Arab Spring. Brought to power political groups of Islamic orientation, either open or indirect, Mr. Mogilev said in comments to the Interfax news agency. Shall I go on? The first comments in Russia on Twitter were bitingly sarcastic. Quote, the democratized residents of Libya thank the staff of the American embassy for its support, one read. Another read this, quote, this is what you call exporting democracy, it seems. America gives Libya a revolution, and Libyans in return kill the ambassador, close quote. Something you'd expect from intelligent people, which apparently we're not getting here in the United States, only in Russia. Alexei K. Pushkov, the head of Russia's Parliamentary Foreign Affairs Committee, wrote this via Twitter, quote, under Gaddafi, they didn't kill diplomats. Obama and Clinton are in shock. What did they expect? Democracy? Even bigger surprises await them in Syria. I'll close off right here on that because all of these comments are in direct sync with what I try to warn you in my best-selling book, Trickle Down Tyranny. And I keep hammering my Bible. I hammer Trickle Down Tyranny because I wrote it not to get rich. I wrote it to try and save this kind of event from occurring.
Savage.
Listen, we're talking about the death of a man, the killing of an ambassador, which did not happen under Gaddafi. Ambassadors were not killed. This murder of the ambassador in Libya, this murder of three staff members, including two U.S. Marines, is an act of war. It's a gaggle of psychotics, criminals, and fanatics put in power by the media elite. Anderson Cooper, remember, celebrated when the Libyans were running around in tight dungarees with blackberries by the so-called media elite and the academic eggheads under Obama. Fanatics, psychotics, criminals, considered the Democrats of Libya. And so the Benghazi Rebel Council, filled with al-Qaeda terrorists, is now presiding over the descent of Libya into a chaos where tribes and warlords and criminal psychotics will spell the end of civilization itself in the area. And we don't know whether this is the actual goal of Obama, not just for Libya, but for the entire Arab Crescent. Because it seems to me that as intelligent as these liberals are, perhaps they actually want this as a goal. Perhaps they want civilization to end in the Arab Crescent. Maybe George Soros has a money angle here. Maybe there's some money to be made if there's a descent into chaos. I don't know. Why would they have funded this occurrence, which they did? Chaos of tribalism, warlords and criminal syndicates presiding in Libya. Now a foothold for al-Qaeda. All because Obama is either the most incompetent and corrupt president in American history. He's certainly inept. The man has not attended 50% of his national security briefings over the last 6 weeks. He's too busy raising money. There was a lack of intelligence. This is a clear failure of his foreign policy. A disaster. But there's a dead man called the U.S. ambassador. Another, it looks like he looks like a very decent man, Peace Corps, UC Berkeley, Peace Corps guy, lifetime, decent person. He actually thought he could help the Libyan people, a do-gooder, in other words, not a realist. I know the type. Good people, well-meaning. I ran into them all the years I was traversing the South Seas collecting plants, the Peace Corps types, the university types. They're well-meaning. They're nice people. But remember the adage, the road to you nowhere is paved with good intentions. You actually think that people who live in the ninth century are going to suddenly become Democrats because you told them they're nice people? Do you have any idea they're willing to burn a country to the ground to advance their concept of radical Islam? Do you have any idea that 9/11 is not old to them, it's new? They still celebrate somebody they killed 1,000 years ago. They celebrate a death of 1,000 years ago, and you think they're going to forget what they did to us on 9/11? Why? Because Mr. Peepers in the White House told you that it's all over? It's not all over. It hasn't even begun yet. This is just the prelude to what they're going to do to us, unless we get someone in the White House who understands what's at stake. How many different ways do I have to tell you they're winning and we're losing? It is a clash of civilizations. The very same liberals who are stepping so lightly over this issue about a video that was made by someone in Los Angeles against Islam and Muhammad. The people who suddenly whisper about Muhammad are the very same people who celebrated dipping a crucifix into a jar of urine at the Brooklyn Museum, or dipping a crucifix into a beaker filled with elephant dung, and they snickered over it. You remember? I remember the men's names. I remember their names. You want me to name them? I remember the name of the man who ran the Brooklyn Museum who said it's freedom of speech and artistic intent to dip a crucifix in a jar of urine and call it an art exhibit. And these very same people who mock Jesus, mock Christians on a daily basis, spit on Christianity, are telling you to be delicate when it comes to Islam. Do you understand that liberalism is not only a mental disorder, but liberalism is a suicidal mental disorder? And here's the punchline. They're running the world. They're no longer a marginal group of psychotic cowards in the ACLU. They're running the world. They're no longer a marginal group of academic eggheads who you can dismiss. They're now running the world. They have names. And the top academic egghead ruining the world is Barack Hussein Obama. And the only reason King Obama gets away with it is because of the complicity of morons like those people in the media who refuse to accept the fact that he caused this with his naivete, if you want to put it that way, unless he actually wants this to occur. So we have a mess on our hands. And the liberal idiots in the media understand something from this horrible tragedy. You know what they know? This could cost Obama the election, which is why they ganged up on Romney for meekly saying that we need a strong leader here. We don't have one. All Romney said was, "Is this is a result of weakness." That's all he said. And they all coordinated an attack, beginning with the jerks at the Alphabet channels and then the usual jerks from Politico and the other front groups for the Democrat Party. They all coordinated their attack. Mr. Romney, did you jump the gun? Mr. Romney, when did you jump the gun? Mr. Romney, are you sorry you jumped the gun? Mr. Romney, would you jump the gun again? Mr. Romney, why did you jump the gun? Mr. Romney, when you jumped the gun, do you think there are consequences? They all said the same thing. They rehearsed it. Why did they attack Romney when they should be attacking those who killed our ambassador? Answer, liberalism is a dangerous mental disorder. So let's go back to the article where the Russians get it exactly right. And I'll finish it up where they're saying, quote, under Gaddafi, they didn't kill diplomats. Obama and Clinton are in shock. What did they expect, democracy? Even bigger surprises await them in Syria. Others said this. American leaders should not expect, quote, one word of sympathy from their Russian counterparts. It is a tragedy to the family of the poor ambassador, but his blood is on the hands of Hillary Clinton personally and Barack Obama personally. Who wrote that? Michael Savage, the right winger? No. Yevgeny Y. Satanovsky, president of the Institute of the Middle East in Moscow. That's what he said. He blames Obama and Hillary Clinton for this blood spilling. Mr. Satanovsky said this. He said Russian warnings against intervention in the Middle East came from the bitter experience of the Soviets in Afghanistan. He said, "You are the Soviet Union now, guys, and you pay the price. You are trying to distribute democracy the way we try to distribute socialism. You do it in the Western way. They hate both. He said dictators were preferable to the constellation of armed forces that emerges when they are unseated. Exactly Michael Savage's sentiments, because it's realpolitik. Anyone who understands history understands that this is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. These violent, psychotic throwbacks were held in check by violent, mad dictators. And when you take away the dictators, you have the psychotics and the tribes and the lunacy that you are seeing now. I'll continue with the article, not my editorializing. Quote, they lynched Gaddafi. Do you really think that they will be thankful to you, he said. They use stupid white people from a big, rich, and stupid country, which they really hate. Russia's case against American involvement in the Middle East dates from the post-September 11th campaigns in Iraq and Afghanistan, but it has been at the forefront of Russian discourse for at least a year since Mr. Putin broke out of his role as prime minister and delivered a passionate criticism of the NATO bombing campaign in Libya, leaving the clear impression that he, unlike his predecessor, would have used Russia's power in the United Nations to stop it. Mr. Putin has dug his heels in on the issue of Syria, frustrating Western hopes that he could persuade Assad to leave his post voluntarily. Fyodor Lukyanov, a respected analyst and editor of Russia and Global Affairs, said this. He said, violence like Tuesday's had been at the heart of Russia's warnings. He said Russia had formulated a post-communist position. Listen to this. It's the last line. Russia had formulated a post-communist position. If you try to impose anything on others, as the Soviet Union tried to do, the result will be the opposite and disastrous. This killing is just strengthening the views, which are already quite widespread, that the Western approach to the Arab Spring is basically wrong, close quote, Mr. Lukyanov said. Now, Michael Savage called the Arab Spring what it was. He called it the Arab Winter about a year ago. And now we see that I was right, that we've gone from the ivory tower to the loss of power in one incompetent administration. If you care to comment on any of these comments, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. If you care to comment on the Fugazi in the White House, you can call 1-800-449-8255. If you care to comment on Hillary Clinton laughing about the death of Gaddafi as though it was just a paper doll being hung out of a window, you can call me on this at the same phone number. Let's play Hillary Clinton again after they had killed Gaddafi. Listen.
We came, we saw, he died.
You hear the girls? You hear the academic eggheads having a good time over the death of a man? If that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about liberalism and how dangerous it is and how vicious it is, I have nothing else to offer you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So the academic eggheads under Obama, Samantha Power in particular, celebrate the death of Gaddafi, and they think that the very same people, the thugs, the psychotics, the warlords that they ushered into power are going to thank them. Instead, they kill the ambassador and his Marine guard. And today the media attacks Romney because Romney meekly said that this is a result of our weakness and we shouldn't apologize for our values. Right away, they go into overdrive. I've never seen anything like this. It's something out of the ex-Soviet Union, like Izvestia or Pravda, where there is a concerted chorus of critics of anyone who criticizes the king. Anyone who criticizes the king is an enemy of the state to these left-wing fanatics. I've never seen. I don't know how anyone listening to this show who may have not known who I was before the show can come away with any thought other than this guy knows what he's talking about. We are in danger. That if we do not correct the course we're on and we don't dump this gang from Chicago, we're finished as a nation because it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Let me tell you that right now. Unless we get some real men with real experience back in control of this country, we're not going to have a nation in another administration. It's not going to be here. Not in the form in which you have come to expect it to be. We'll be somewhat of a hybrid between a third world nation and an ex-first world nation. Will start to look more and more like Portugal rather than the United States of America. Obama is melting this nation down, not only financially, which is bad enough, morally, spiritually, morally, spiritually, financially, militarily. Tell me one area in which Obama has built this nation up, because I don't know it, other than in the use of food stamps. He's built the nation up with regard to third world illegal aliens. Yes, you could say that. He's built the nation up with regard to more people on food stamps. But I don't know where else he's built the nation up. You're going to say this is an example of him building up the nation morally? This is unbelievable to me. It's so clear. It's as though God is speaking to us. God is speaking to us through these acts. Here we are, September 12th. This happens on September 11th. Yesterday on the show, do you remember what I said on the show yesterday in the Savage Nation? I want, guys, get that small 20-second piece ready. Because it was, if I never say prophetic. I want you to listen to something that may be considered prophetic. This was from September 11th when in 2001. Listen. United States of America. The radical Muslim world has declared war on America. We are at war. We are at war. That was 9/11. That was at 9/11. I played it yesterday, and the liberals had said, "Oh, come on, you jingoists, you right wingers. Yeah, there's no war. All is well around the world because we have King Obama in power." The supreme leader, the dear leader, is in power. Kim Jong-il Obama is in power and all is well. And anyone who criticizes him and says the king has no clothing is an enemy of the state. Well, I ask you, are we at war? We're not at war. They are. Well, it's true in a sense. We're not at war. They're at war. They never stop being at war. That's right. We're not at war. They are. Everything is well, according to the egghead academics who are running the country. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Clifton in Sacramento on KSTE Radio. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, top of the day to you, my brother. Man, I want you to know, man, that your voice is not, you think it might not be heard, but it is being heard. Because I guarantee you one thing, as confident and as courageous and as articulate as Romney was today, you're in his last statement, his last three words were, and his last comment was, the Islam spring has become an Islam winter. And you, the one that coined that phrase, Arab spring or whatever.
Arab spring, Arab winter. No, Clifton, thank you for reminding us of that. We have the tape. I'm sending you a free copy of A Trickle-Down Tyranny. Gentlemen, if you have the tape of Mr. Romney saying, using my quote of Arab winter, would you play it now, please?
Over the last several years, we've stood witness to an Arab spring that presents an opportunity for a more peaceful and prosperous region, but also poses the potential for peril if the forces of extremism and violence are allowed to control the course of events. We must strive to ensure that the Arab spring does not become an Arab winter.
Okay. Apparently, someone read the book. Apparently, somebody read the hardcover version of Trickle-Down Tyranny because it's in there. Long before anyone ripped it off and used it on their website, I wrote it. As today, I quoted a new phrase that will be stolen by tomorrow night, if not by stolen already on the blogs, from the ivory tower to the loss of power in one administration. Take it and run with it. Use it if you can. As hesitant and as middle of the road and as meek as Mr. Romney is, he's the only choice we have. But let's stay away from the election for the moment, because I don't believe the average person gives a rat's you-know-what about this. I was in a barbershop today getting a haircut. I'm going to the very, very tragic CHP, California Highway Patrol, funeral tomorrow in Vacaville for a slain officer who was killed during an ordinary traffic stop. I'm honored that they permit me to attend the funeral. And I'm in the barbershop. And I try to listen to what people are talking about. Nothing. Nothing. It's as though nothing happened. Oh, no one even mentioned an ambassador killed. Luckily, the woman who cuts my hair has a husband who's an officer of the law. I won't say where. And he's a military guy in the National Guard. So she's very keen on all these things. And she whispered to me. She wouldn't talk about it, but she whispered of what's going on. And she said, "I can't wait for next year." I said, "Let's pray." I mean, you have any idea that the people who really know what's going on know how bad it is? This is awful. It's getting worse. We have a fake diamond in the White House, and the people are taking him for the real McCoy, because the media is telling you, don't believe what the diamond analyst said to you. It's a fugazi. Don't believe him. Believe us. It's not a fake. This is the Hope Diamond in the White House. Obama is the Hope Diamond. He's not a fugazi. Don't believe yourself. Don't believe anything you actually see. Believe us, because we know. Well, look, I don't have to pour on the bad sarcasm. I've done it too often. But there's something so wrong with this picture. When after the murder of a U.S. ambassador by a mad mob who tears him to shreds, basically, take a look at the picture of the guy. Does he look like he was smothered? He looks like he was beaten to death. They look like they beat him to death, those throwbacks. The throwbacks beat him to death. And instead they attack Romney, as they have attacked me for years, for daring to utter the truth of what's going on in this world. And it didn't start yesterday. This was a coordinated attack on the United States, on 9/11, in Egypt, and in Libya, and it was sent as a message. It had nothing whatsoever to do with that film that they're quoting. That's the media's excuse. They're trying to blame the guy who made the film, this little movie that no one's ever seen. Nothing to do with the film. Nothing whatsoever. This is a planned attack, because mobs don't have AK-47s with this type of RPG, according to my reading. Some of them may have these weapons, but they don't have these anti-tank grenades that are extremely difficult to procure. So they were given these anti-tank grenades that were launched into the embassy to create the diversion, which permitted the mob to go and seek out the ambassador, who was in a hiding place. And they knew where the hiding place was, because Libyan security showed the radicals where to attack the ambassador. It came out today. After the Libyan security forces, who were hired to protect the consulate in Benghazi, moved Ambassador Stevens to a second building, they then told the militant crowds where he was hiding. It was an orchestrated attack, as sure as I am sitting here.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We came, we saw, he died.
The Flight of the Valkyries. The Flight of the Valkyries. That's what we have running America and the world right now. Academic eggheads who are bloodthirsty. Valkyries. Valkyries, Valkyries, from the Old Norse Valkyria, chooser of the slain, female figures who decide who dies and who lives in battle. So apparently Hillary Clinton and Samantha Power and Susan Rice decided that Gaddafi had to go. It was thumbs down by them on him. It was thumbs down by them on Mubarak. And take a look at what we have today. All as a result of the fact that we have fugazis at every level of the Obama administration. There's almost not one of them that you can say with any authority knows what they're doing. You know, the fact of the matter is, this did not happen because of a little video movie about Muhammad. This did not happen because of that, according to Libyan writers. It didn't happen because of that. That's just the cover story. This was a message to America, a message of thank you for liberating us so we can stab you in the back. This was a message to America that 9/11 was just the beginning. It wasn't the end of what we're going to do to you. That's all. Now, of course, if you go to the airport this afternoon and you're from Libya, you'll be ushered right onto the airplane, even if you have a stick of dynamite in your hand. You can tell them it's part of your religious paraphernalia. But if you are a nun in a wheelchair wearing a cross, you'll be strip searched by a pervert somewhere in a back room by the Department of Homeland Security. That's our own Al-Qaeda. That's what they've turned America into, a nation under siege by its own police force, in essence. Its own federal police force has turned on the people, not on those who would harm us, is how most people see it, by the way. They have everything backwards. It's Alice in Wonderland. It's the Lilliputians running the world. It's been written before. Jonathan Swift tried to write it. Jonathan Swift wrote about what happens when Lilliputians take over a nation. And for his reward in Gulliver's Travels, he was put into an insane asylum, which is what they used to do to people who dared speak out in the ex-Soviet Union. We're not too far away from that under Obama. They have been arresting U.S. soldiers who write anything on their own Facebook page that criticizes the government and putting them into medical facilities. We are on the road to the ex-Soviet Union because dear leader Obama is exactly in that mold. What can I say that you haven't heard today? You've heard all of this all day long. You didn't hear much about Samantha Power from Trickle Down Tyranny until I read it to you last hour. You didn't hear Hillary Clinton giggling over the killing of Gaddafi because nobody found the tape. You didn't hear my quote from the ivory tower to the loss of power in one administration until you tune into the Savage Nation. You did not hear what the Russians had to say about this until you turn on the Savage Nation. You probably didn't hear that the Libyan security showed radicals where to kill the ambassador who was in hiding until you turned on this show. But what else has justified the expenditure of time that you have invested in listening to Michael Savage? Some call me a diamond in the rough. Some call me a diamond, but nobody calls me a fugazi. And the reason they don't call me a fugazi is because what you hear is what you get. I'm not here to tell you something I don't believe. Sometimes I'm a little too brusque. Sometimes I'm a little too direct. Sometimes I guess I go over the top in trying to get you to listen before it's too late. But don't ever call me a fugazi, because what you're getting from me is the real McCoy. And what I say to you is what the average American who knows what's going on is thinking. Even if you are on the other side of the aisle, you should be thanking me for telling you what most Americans who know what's going on are thinking. Those who have not been properly brainwashed by your minions in academia and in the corporate world through affirmative action training. This is what most Americans, 30% of Americans, think. The 30% of Americans who are despised by Hollywood, the 30% of Americans who are despised by the Obama administration, the 30% of Americans who are spat upon by this administration is who I speak to. Certainly they all don't listen to this show on a daily basis. I wish they did. I do what I can with the audience I have. This is the third largest radio show in the United States of America. I've written 6 New York Times bestsellers in a row. Write it down in case you missed it. 6 New York Times bestsellers in a row, including my great novel, Abuse of Power. And the reason I mention my novel, Abuse of Power, is because it's interesting. It's about a TV journalist by the name of Jack Hatfield, a hardened former war correspondent who had national prominence because of his insight and his provocative commentary. But then he is smeared as a bigot and called an extremist by a radical leftist media watchdog group, modeled on George Soros's Media Matters, by the way. He ultimately loses his job and finds himself working in obscurity as a freelance news producer in San Francisco. And then Hatfield, my protagonist in Abuse of Power, modeled somewhat on Michael Savage with regard to being obscured by the left-wing hit groups. Do you know that I'm the only member of the American media banned from entering the United Kingdom? Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know I'm the only member of the American media banned from entering the United Kingdom? Do you know why? Because I dared say what was going on in the world. And then in the novel, I kind of fictionalize it. And the novel, it follows a shadowy trail that leads Hatfield from San Francisco to Tel Aviv, London, Paris, and back again as he works with a stunning Yemeni intelligence agent and a veteran Green Beret to expose a terrorist group known as the Hand of Allah and a plot within the highest corridors of power that will dwarf 9/11. In this lightning-paced first thriller spanning the globe from Europe and Israel to the back alleys of San Francisco's Chinatown, a reporter must make the choice between protecting his own life and investigating a terrorist cell whose goal is nothing less than total political control, no matter what the cost. Well, I got chills up my spine and my hair is tingling. Abuse of Power by Michael Savage. It did become a bestseller. I have another one coming out. The next one is A Time for War in the spring. They just signed another two-book deal with me. They love me. There is an audience out there. Just because Weinstein doesn't like me, just because Harvey Weinstein doesn't produce the movie, doesn't mean that 30% of Americans are wrong. You know, doesn't mean that 30 million Americans or 60 million Americans are that dumb, Harvey. It could be that they're just unserved by your kind and your like. You understand that, Harvey, what I'm saying to you? And if you don't like it, it's too bad, Harvey. It's just too bad. But we don't bow down to false idols, Harvey Weinstein. We don't bow down to kings who have no clothes, Harvey. That's 30% of America. The same 30% of America that did not like the King's Law in the United States of America. You may not know this, but if you look back upon the American Revolution, it was only 30% of the people who dared stand up to the king. 60% of them said, what are you causing trouble for? 60% of the early American settlers said, we don't want to go to war with England. We like them. It's okay. We can live under their subjugation. We don't mind. We're doing okay. We don't care that we have to kowtow to the English. But it was 30% who said, no, it's our country and we're not going to bow down to them. It's only been 20 to 30% in this country from the beginning that ever had the guts and the brains to understand what's going on. So I don't expect 100% of the people to understand what's going on. The fact of the matter is you can fool some of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Abe Lincoln said that, and he was speaking for you, the 30% that listens to the Savage Nation. You, the conservatives who are criticized, lambasted, put down by the left-wing, radical, psychotic drug takers who are running the world right now right off the rail. They're running us off the cliff like lemmings running us off the cliff. Right off the cliff. I warned you now for over a year that the Arab Spring had become the Arab Winter. I warned you that this administration was either knowingly or inadvertently bringing to power radical Islamists in the Arab Crescent, which, of course, if you study even a modicum of history, you understand why this is happening. And you understand why when we overthrew Mubarak, our best friend for over 40 years, what would occur? They took a cork out of a bottle. And they're shocked that the embassy was attacked yesterday in Egypt? You don't know what's coming. You have no idea what's coming. And at the same time, Obama and his eggheads have done this. They tell Israel to drop dead. They tell Israel, which is facing an existential threat to its existence, from enemies like Ahmadinejad, who's on his way to New York City, which is shocking. It's like Hitler's coming to town, and the liberals are throwing him a party. I can guarantee you that Bloomberg will open up a Jeroboam. Now, Ahmadinejad may not drink it, but Bloomberg certainly wouldn't miss an opportunity to kowtow to someone who wants to destroy his own people. Why should he? After all, look at the photograph he could put on his wall. Remember Bloomberg with the Victory Mosque down at Ground Zero? Whatever happened to that? How'd that go? By the way, now that we're speaking about radical Islam, how about Major Nidal Hassan, the Muslim major, who was ushered all the way up the top ranks of the military, even though he was signing his medical reports with Allah be praised? Can you imagine if someone in the military had signed any of their medical reports, Jesus saves? Can you imagine what Mr. Dempsey, the great supreme commander, hoo-la-la, boo-la-la, Dempsey would have said? I think he was Secretary of the Army at the time. Allah be praised, that's fine in medical reports because that's his religious right. Are you crazy? Jesus saves is not his religious right. Remember he killed how many, 33 people? How come he hasn't been brought to trial? How come Major Nidal Hassan has not yet been brought to trial? Because Obama and Eric Holder have pushed it off as far as they can. They don't want to remind you that they are still at war and we are not. See, we're not at war. They are right in that regard. America is not at war with radical Islam, but radical Islam is at war with America. That's something you have to understand. No, we're not at war, but they are. They've never stopped being at war. They will be at war for another 1,000 years. You understand that or don't you understand that? It's a pretty bad game that's being played. And right now, if I were to analyze what's coming, I don't even want to tell you where this is going because we're losing. We're not winning. We're not winning hearts and minds. Where we won hearts and minds in Libya? Where'd we win hearts and minds in Egypt? Where'd we win hearts and minds? Tell me the country where we won hearts and minds. They're all lining up to work at McDonald's to flip camel burgers. Is that it?
all of the young men that Anderson Cooper got so excited about during the Arab Spring, they're lining up to flip camel burgers in Benghazi. That's what they wanted all along. They couldn't wait to get rid of Gaddafi so they can flip camel burgers and ask if you'd like squash with your camel burger. Would you like squash fries with your camel burger? Or perhaps you would like a camel... Teddy's interrupting me. He doesn't want me to go on. My dog is my new sensor. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, America and the world is talking about the killing of a U.S. ambassador because it doesn't happen too often. It happened in 1979 under Jimmy Carter when Iranian fanatics killed a U.S. ambassador. Again, we have Carter Radu here with Obama. I doubt very much that those who committed this act will pay for it. And America is buzzing about it because they're saying, what is Obama doing about it? What is Obama going to do about it? And I don't have an answer to that. My guess is he's going to overreact, incidentally. But let's go to the callers. John in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please. John, you're up.
Dr. Savage, you're a brilliant man, but tonight I must criticize you. The Hollywood scum that wrote this film is responsible for the killing of these Americans. And
hold on. You're alleging that the amateur film produced in the U.S., which includes insults regarding Muhammad, is what provoked this. Is that your allegation?
I am making that allegation the same way that the pictures that were taken in Guantanamo of the prisoners that were held
captive. No, but wait, where do you get this opinion from? This is the standard opinion being spoon-fed by the American media, but it may not be true. I have evidence to the contrary, by the way, which I'm going to present to you in a moment. So where do you get your information that it's the film that provoked this?
That is what the media has said, and that is what
Hold on. So wait a minute. So you're not criticizing me. You're giving me the liberal view of why these fanatics killed our ambassador, but you may be wrong. John. I'm glad you're listening carefully enough to actually hear me, but I'm going to quote someone named Norman Benetman, who is a former leader of the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, a jihadist organization that fought against Gaddafi's regime in the 90s. He left behind his radical past. And he became a critic of jihadist and Islamist violence. And he says, listen to this, that that's not the reason that they killed the ambassador and attacked the embassy in Egypt, by the way. And where did I get this from? I got it from a right-wing website called CNN. Are you aware of that? CNN has this under the opinion page called What Jihadists Want You to Believe About Libya. And this man, a former radical Islamist himself, said that's not true. It's not the reason they did it. They claim that this was a pre-planned terrorist operation that was orchestrated by Zawahiri calling on Libyans to avenge the killing of Al-Qaeda's second-in-command, Abu Yahya al-Libi. The attack was the work of a pre-planned attack, the result of 20 militants with a mob around them prepared for a military assault. And their evidence is that the fact that it is rare for that an RPG-7, an anti-tank rocket-propelled grenade launcher, would be present at a civilian protest. Very difficult to procure. And they said the attack was so carefully planned against the consulate that it was conducted in two waves. The first attack led U.S. officials being evacuated from the consulate by Libyan security forces, okay, only for the second wave to be launched against U.S. officials after they had been brought into a secure location. This former jihadist from Libya says this. He says, jihadists will want the world to believe that the attack is just a part of the protest against an amateur film produced in the U.S., which includes crude insults against the Prophet Muhammad. They will want the world to think that their actions represent a popular Libyan and wider Muslim reaction, thus reversing the perception of jihadists being outcasts from their own societies. But he disagrees. He says this was conducted by outcasts from their own society. And he also said the jihadists may feel about killing U.S. citizens, they will win the support of local populations, but they are wrong. So let's assume that he's right, since he was once an extremist radical Muslim himself. So we have a small group of extremists who do not represent the Libyan population. What's liable to happen is that Obama and the Valkyries are liable to overreact now and bomb an entire city. That's going to be a tragedy.
Savage.
Well, so we're living through the results. You know, as they say, it's come home to roost. We have an academic egghead running the country, and a ruthless one at that. No one ever called him foolish. He's a cunning, cunning leader who has been accruing more and more power on a daily basis, running one secret meeting after another like King George III, a tyrant in every sense of the word, defying the will of the people as they expressed it in the resounding defeats they administered to Democrats in the 2010 midterm elections. Obama has ignored the pleas of the American people, shrugging off the rulings of state and federal court judges, going so far as to mock and insult the Supreme Court of the United States in his 2011 State of the Union speech, and defying the attempt of Congress to shut down his illegal maneuvers. I've tried to tell you that in the first 2 years, 3 years, the first Obama presidency has amounted to nothing less than a leftist takeover of the United States. I can go into all the details, but I don't need to. You can read my books where I spell it all out. But one of the tyrants he has used is a czar named Cass Sunstein. Cass Sunstein is a very dangerous academic egghead. And Cass Sunstein has a dangerous wife named Samantha Power, who is one of the Valkyries working with Hillary Clinton in the war room. The three women, Susan Rice, Hillary Clinton, and Samantha Power, are the ones who orchestrated the overthrow of Mubarak and the killing of Gaddafi. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you have any idea what this has led to? You say, well, they meant well. Yeah, but the road to you know where is paved with good intentions. You mean they wanted to bring democracy to an area that isn't ready for it? Is that another way to put it? They wanted to bring democracy to a region that will never, ever, ever have a democracy. They're incapable of it. Now, I could go into the intellectual reasons why this area, these people, this culture is never going to have a chance at democracy. They can't. We've tried to explain it to you on the Savage Nation over an 18-year period in my writings, in my broadcasts. Democracy is not easy to achieve in a nation. The people need to have a basis for their democracy. Fortunately for us, the people who founded America had a basis for their republic, call it a democracy when it really is a republic, but for the sake of discussion, we'll call it a democracy, which it isn't. It's a republic. They had a basis for it in the Christian Bible, which taught them compassion, taught them constraint, taught them other things that were necessary for a republic to arise from the ashes of a revolution. Those in the Middle East don't have such a document. They have a document that's a little different in so many ways. Read it and find out what I'm talking about. You'll find out why the foolishness of the academic eggheads will never produce a democracy. Ahmed does not want to flip camel burgers, no. Ahmed would rather die than flip camel burgers. But the mainstream media in the United States will not explain this to you. And so, therefore, it falls upon men like me. Tyranny of the egghead wars. Tyranny of Obama's radical accomplices. It's all in trickle-down tyranny. I keep hawking my book because I want to go to the book. But I don't want to go to the book. I know if I go to the book, I'll turn you off as an audience because you don't want to hear me read anything, even though it's far more carefully worded than is a spontaneous broadcast on talk radio. I wrote it very carefully. Passed a lot of legal scrutiny. And I try to explain to you who Samantha Power is, one of the Valkyries. But that's not what's going to reach you on what happened in Libya. All you want to talk about is why it happened. And many of you are taking the spoon-fed lie that it was because of an amateur film that was released on the internet about Muhammad. When a former jihadist from Libya himself said that's not the reason. This was a carefully orchestrated attack that was planned by al-Zawahiri, the number two in command of al-Qaeda. Now, some would say, you know, we want to get into conspiracy that this could be the early October surprise of Obama. It's a crisis. They never let a crisis go unnoticed. And he's going to come out looking, smelling like roses because he's going to launch some tomahawks from the two U.S. Navy destroyers just sent off the coast of Libya. This came out minutes ago. Two U.S. Navy warships are moving toward the coast of Libya, two U.S. officials tell CNN. the destroyers of the USS Laboon and the USS McFaul, both ships equipped with Tomahawk missiles that could be used if a strike was ordered. Now, remember, Reagan launched Tomahawks against Gaddafi. Remember that? And it put a stop to Gaddafi's madness at the time. Remember that or not? They killed Gaddafi's son. Reagan launched some attacks from a ship. I forget the name of the aircraft carrier at the time. If I'm not mistaken, they weren't Tomahawk launched. They were actually launched by F-15s at the time in the Gulf of Tripoli, if I can recall my history on the spur of the moment without any research in front of me. But nevertheless, he put one down the tent of Gaddafi, killed his son, and Gaddafi was never really as crazy after that. I believe that Obama's going to try and repeat the accolades he received from the killing of Osama bin Laden by hitting some targets in the desert. No doubt they'll blow up a used camel stand or a falafel stand somewhere in the desert and claim that they got somebody important. But it will certainly give the administration another opportunity to exhibit how an academic egghead goes to war. It will certainly give them the opportunity to have Hillary Clinton laugh yet again. She may yet again say, "We came, we saw, and he died." I mean, we don't know yet. But the fact of the matter is, there's no question in my mind they're going to use this opportunity, as politicians generally will do, to preen and to posture and show that they're very macho and in charge, when in fact the opposite happens to be true, unfortunately. I mean, I wish it was not true. I wish I could say to you that I haven't been reading that Obama's not been at his national security meetings for the last couple of months, 6 weeks it is, and he's missed 50% of his national security briefings because it was either too busy raising money or playing basketball or golf. You don't want to hear that because you didn't hear it from the very same vermin in the media who were telling you that Romney's the bad guy here. He actually did it. They try to make Romney into a worse guy than the murderers of the ambassador. Death is death. Death is the end. There's a decent man in the ground, and two other decent men will never know their names or probably won't know. The U.S. Marines who were guarding him are also killed, nameless. Nameless heroes dead. Cops die every day at traffic stops. Tomorrow I'm going to the funeral of one of them in Vacaville. It's not going to be an easy day for me because I'm not used to it, to be around 4,000 policemen who are burying one of their own who was killed, whacked at a traffic stop, went up on a ticket violation, and the son of a shot him in the head and killed him, a father of four, a military veteran going in the ground. Thank God his partner had the wherewithal to come around and shoot the perpetrator in the head and kill him. I want to meet him and shake his hand tomorrow. I want to say, thank God you had the guts and the brains to react properly and kill him and not bring this son of a gun to trial, because I didn't want to see him on death row for 30 years with the same liberal vermin telling us he had a bad childhood or that he, he had a flashback or something. Thank God he shot him in the head and killed the perpetrator. But that's tomorrow's work, not today. I'll tell you more about that tomorrow, where you can make a contribution to the Highway Patrol Children's and Widows Fund, which I've contributed to, incidentally, a couple of years ago. I'm going to do it again. Go to my website, michaelsavage.com. It should be up tonight. Art Moore is working on it for me. And I really recommend you make a donation to the Widows and Orphans Fund of the Highway Patrol. Because, you know, we hear a lot of I'm a little off here now on the police for a minute. There's a war going on in this country as well. And it's a war that's always been on. And were it not for the so-called thin blue line, we'd be living in a jungle altogether. An absolute jungle. So every time they put their uniform on in the morning and their vest and they load their gun, they don't know if they're coming home at night. You say, "Ah, that's nonsense, hero." Yeah, really? Tell it to his widow and the four children will be there tomorrow. It's the same for the troops that we send over there. There are men dying on the streets of America, trying to keep the hordes away from you, and they're away from you. I make it very easy for you to figure out. The radical Islamists, whatever you want to call them, however you want to put it, parse it any way you want, run it through the dictionary, ask Samantha Power the proper words to use, call up Wolf Blitzer and ask him what he thinks about this. Mr. Home Run himself. So, we're living in a very dangerous world. It's totally insane out there, both in America and abroad, and it's gotten worse under Obama. Why do I say it's gotten worse? Because it's gotten worse under Obama, that's all. That's why. Not maybe, but it has. Now we have a dead ambassador. When did we last have a dead ambassador? 1979, when Mr. Peanut was in the White House. Carter, another genius. Mr. Peace and Love. If you're nice to the radical Islamists, they're going to love you. So what did he do? He overthrew a very bad man, the Shah of Iran. Oh, we heard nothing about how bad the Shah was. Evil Shah of Iran. Savak was terrible. They were torturing poor, innocent individuals in Iran. That's all we heard in the 70s from the vermin in the media. So what happened? Jimmy Carter, the moron, becomes president. And Jimmy Carter, the moron, runs the Shah of Iran out of Iran. And who comes back? Who fills the power vacuum? Who fills the power vacuum? Who? You forget Khomeini came back from exile in London, and he started the cancer of radical Islam that we're now facing worldwide, all because of Jimmy Carter. Why did Jimmy Carter do it? Not because he's a bad man, because he is an idealist. I'll put it in the proper way, so you can take it as even you liberals can accept it. You know, Jimmy Carter was a do-gooder, an idealist. He figured if you're nice to the bad guy, in a good liberal sense, they'll be nice to you. The same way they treat criminals here in America. So you get a murderer, let's say, a cop killer. Who defends them? Liberal lawyers from New York City primarily, who went to the worst law schools in the United States of America, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, NYU. The worst law schools in America produce the most wackadoodles you've ever seen. So they go to death row and they believe, oh, yeah, I'm reading the Bible or I became a Muslim. I didn't mean it. It was because I was on drugs. My mother didn't give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I wanted to be three. I have no idea. I'll come out. I'll be fine. They work overtime to let the guy out of jail and he kills again. And they're shocked, I tell you. Shocked. They cannot believe that it was all a fake. Same exact mentality. And the cops are the ones who have to take the bullets and pick up the pieces from liberalism, the mental disorder. But now we're seeing that it has ramifications not solely on a domestic front, but on an international front. Why do I say it? Do you remember the celebrations by that fool, that dimwit, Anderson Cooper, the pretty boy? The pretty boy, Anderson Cooper, delighted with himself, looking in the mirror of the television camera and seeing nothing but beauty. And all he saw were beautiful young men in Libya who had blackberries in the back of their jeans. And he said, they must be good because they want democracy. Let's get rid of Gaddafi. And here we are. So who did this? You think this happened by itself? No, my friends, it didn't happen by itself. It happened from the Democrat government media complex's foolishness. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We have a real situation on our hands. The Arab Crescent is in turmoil because of the academic eggheads who have orchestrated the downfall of crazy dictators like Gaddafi and Mubarak. Dictators who didn't kill our ambassadors, by the way. Now the ambassador is dead and our embassies are being stormed. So I'll ask you, which was worse? Which is worse? The strong man who kept these fanatics at bay, or the mobs that have now killed our ambassador and swarming the embassies? And it's not over yet. It's just begun. And don't believe the lie that it's over an amateur movie on the internet, because a former jihadist himself from Libya, who was basically left it behind, said, don't believe that at all. This was orchestrated by Zawahiri, the number two in al-Qaeda, as a retaliation for killing one of his deputies with a drone. But you're not going to hear that from Wolfie Blitzer, another Fugazi in the media. So, you know, you look at what's going on today. Romney finally says something that sounds presidential. I said, I can't believe it's the same man. And who attacks him? Well, the usual suspects, the left-wing fanatics. But who else? None other than Peggy Noonan, who seems to be senile now that she's joining the liberals and attacking Romney at a time like this. Listen to what Peggy Noonan said in clip 7.
When you step forward in the midst of a political environment and start giving statements on something dramatic and violent that has happened, you're always leaving yourself open to accusations that you are trying to exploit things politically. I don't feel that Mr. Romney has been doing himself any favors, say, in the past few hours, perhaps since last night.
Sometimes right, let's stop. That's Peggy Noonan, a so-called conservative, attacking Romney for standing up. And saying that this occurred because of weakness and we shouldn't apologize for our values. So, you know, look at how things are emerging in the country, where a once brilliant woman who's showing signs of senility would attack Romney at a time like this, joining fanatics like Wolf Blitzer and the other jerks, is astounding to me. They don't know what they're talking about anymore, because what Romney said was very clear. Play Romney again, because it was fabulous. I want to hear Romney again.
I think it's a terrible course for America to stand in apology for our values, that instead when our grounds are being attacked and being breached, that the first response of the United States must be outrage at the a breach of the sovereignty of our nation.
Good for you. That's good enough. Good enough for me. Somebody finally said that we have a nation and we're a sovereign nation. In other words, he actually believes in borders, maybe even language, and maybe even culture. Something that those three words were anathema to Obama. Borders? Are you kidding? He's a man of the earth, a man of the world. Language? Which language? Indonesian? Kenyan? English? Man of the world. Culture? What culture? The Bible, the Quran, the Talmud? Which culture are you talking about to Obama? He's a man of the world. A man for all seasons. La Mancha, a man for all seasons. Unbelievable what's going on. You have to study this very carefully to understand it has nothing to do with an amateur movie on the internet. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. This was strictly a message from Al-Qaeda saying on 9/11, we are still out to get you. That's all it was. End of story. And if you go back to when they whacked Gaddafi, remember, Gaddafi was killed, not captured and brought to justice, but executed. Executed. Listen to what Hillary Clinton said after he was brutally murdered, the same way this ambassador was. You have to hear it.
We came, we saw, he died.
That's your women. That's your Valkyries. Remember, we were told the big lie when the women were running for office, that women would be more kinder and gentler. We bring women to power, we'd have more sanity in the world. Take a look at what we have today. Take a look at what 20 years of Dianne Feinstein, by the way, who's the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Her husband does huge business with China. I wonder if she's overlooking certain things for business reasons. No, that doesn't happen. No, hey, I swear in a stack of clean blouses. I swear in a stack of clean white blouses. She's as clean as the driven snow. No. Are you kidding? I would never, ever advantage my husband, Dick Blum, in any way in any of his business dealings with China. I am the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee to show you how much I love America. China can do no wrong. No matter what, can do no wrong. So we have 20 years of Dianne Feinstein. We have Barbara Boxer. We have Hillary Clinton. You name them. We have a kinder, gentler America. We have a weaker, more corrupt America. We have a weaker, more corrupt America. And whatever you may want to say or think about what happened in Libya or about me, doesn't matter. Just remember one thing to take home tonight, which is that as bad as Gaddafi was, he didn't kill our ambassadors. And this band of psychotics and thugs did kill our ambassador and two brave U.S. Marines who were there to defend them. And they didn't just kill him easily. They tortured him to death by what I can see in the picture. It looks like they beat him to death. Never mind suffocated from smoke inhalation. That's the cover story. Where'd that come from? Take a look at the body. It's battered from head to toe. They're carrying like a corpse that was beaten. Battered. Smoke inhalation. They make things up on the spot. So where do you want to go with this? I can tell you where to go with this. Think about it. Read everything you can. Listen to everything you can. Read my chapter again in Trickle Down Tyranny. You'll see I predicted it all. I told you this was coming. And never forget the name Samantha Power, the wife of Cass Sunstein. She's one of the triumvirate of the Valkyries, one of the war hawks in the administration who celebrated the death of Gaddafi and the overthrow of Mubarak. And you ain't seen nothing yet.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Those of you in the military, how you could ever vote for Obama astonishes me. Did you know that Obama has cut money from military funerals and military buglers will no longer be heard at military ceremonies to bury the dead? That's right. Won't make it to your local paper, where the Associated Socialist propagandists and the AP won't report on it. After serving their country and dying, veterans and their families, really, the families heard the gratefulness of taps being played at vets' funerals. Obama said, yet, cut the budget, and they're going to be using tapes. They need the money, in other words, for food stamps. They need money for the DREAM Act for illegal aliens. They need money to pay off the SEIU, the Spanish Employment Intimidation Unionists. Our first bleak president has dimmed the trumpets at military cemeteries, cut the money off cold. So this is what's going on, and the fight over the God in Jerusalem is something you have to really hear to believe. And I think it's worth playing, and I'll play it for you again. First, I want to take some of your calls on the Savage Nation. Albany, New York. Stuart, let's fire away. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Savage. I'd like to make 2 points. The first, of course, is the big one that you've been talking about for quite a while, and that's, you know, the plank putting Jerusalem and God back in the platform. And
yeah,
that shows that the Democrats, I mean, are obviously in the head of the Democrats are in total disarray and beyond desperate. They look kind of stupid even, and not, you know, from their viewpoint, I don't even know why they did it. Of course, you know, Jerusalem and God should have been in the platform. But
well, if they can't manage a convention, how can they manage a country? The answer is they're not managing a country. They're wrecking a country.
Obviously,
they can't even control their own votes. They don't know what's... They voted against God in Jerusalem. You hear the jeering? Did you hear the jeering in the audience?
I heard it all. And the second point I'd like to make is, you know, I'm from New York, and unfortunately, I've got Schumer as one of my senators here, and I heard you blast him, and you're absolutely right. But you can throw, as far as I'm concerned, you can throw Michael Bloomberg down the same sewer. And the reason is pretty clear. A couple of years ago, he said, oh, it's okay for the Muslims to put up a mosque 2 blocks from ground zero under the guise
of... No, I understand. Bloomberg is a spineless collaborator. There's no other words for him. He is the type, well, I can't say it in public because people will get very angry at me, but I can look at him, I can listen to him and tell you he's the type that collaborated in a certain time in history. It makes me sick to think I have to say it. Yes, the Victory Mosque, of course, he was for it. It was pretty awful. Thank you for that reminder, for that memory. Thanks for the memories. I appreciate that. Sacramento, KSTE, Stephen Sacramento on the other side of the country. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, when I heard your story about the snake in the box, before you hit the punchline and your analysis, I was screaming Iran because green is the color of Hezbollah, Hamas, and all of Iran's proxies. And the green snake, to me, represented, and you warning the symbol of Israel, the rabbi, you were warning, and you have been warning Israel, don't be naive, don't trust them. And the green snake, the Israeli rabbi opened the box anyway, and it came out and bit him, symbolizing Iran attacking Israel.
Well, that's very intriguing. That's very interesting, frightening. I hope it's not prophetic in that regard. But what's interesting was the rabbi was told by me, don't open the box, don't even take it off the shelf. And he did anyway, and a green snake came out, but it rattled. Just as Ahmadinejad's been rattling for 3 years now, saying we're going to strike, we're going to kill the Jews, and no one listens to him. And now he's being invited to New York, and Bloomberg doesn't do what Giuliani did. Remember what Giuliani did when I think Yasser Arafat wanted to come to the city. He wouldn't let him in the city. Do you remember that?
God bless him.
Do you remember Giuliani had the guts to say no to that snake? Well, and now you have a Jewish mayor in the city of New York collaborating with Iran in its desires and desires to defame and to destroy the Jewish people in the state of Israel. It's a shameful day that we've fallen this low that people can be such cowards. There's no other words for it. I don't understand it, frankly. I don't understand it, and there's nothing else I can say about it. New Hampshire, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Michael, God bless you, sir. God bless you. I did my hitch in the Army in peacetime under Reagan. I'm a young man. I'm a Christian, but I count myself blessed to be a joint heir with the promise made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if there's no room for God in this country, then there's no room for this country. It's
amen. Amen. This country was founded on a bond, the country was founded on a promise to God, by the way. That's what it was founded on. Wasn't God? God didn't just say he is a country. We made a covenant with God, didn't we? The founders of this country made a covenant with God. They didn't just say thank you for the land. There was a covenant that was made. And as you well know, there's been a war against God in this country for at least 70 years. Right after World War II, the communists gathered together in the ACLU and in other organizations that are a subterfuge and have undermined the word of God, the presence of God, the Ten Commandments, wherever you turn. And look where we are today. Look where we've fallen in a half a century. Take a look at what's happened to this country. And I think, frankly, the only thing that can save this country is faith. I don't see any other way out of this abyss. There's no other way out of this darkness than through faith. Nothing else will save this country. Nothing else. You hear about the economy and the this and the that, all very important. But truthfully, they're secondary to the spirit and soul of the nation. And once a nation's soul dies, well, the rest doesn't much matter, does it? You have a bleakness that follows the death of the spirit of the nation. And I think Obama is a man who has worked very hard with his minions to do exactly that. And that's why I think there's a clear choice in November. And I personally believe, looking at this convention, that if the election were held today, Obama would lose by 8 to 10 points. Forget the fraudulent polls. Because, A, conservatives generally don't respond to polls, number one. Number two, the pollsters are all skewed towards the liberals. And so anything could happen. If the election were held today, it's an 8-point loss for Obama, if not more. It's Jimmy Carter versus Reagan. And they're doing everything possible that they can do to lie about their real positions. But it seems that their real positions, anti-God, anti-Israel, anti-family, anti-success, they're breaking through. They're just breaking through as though by God's hand people are seeing through the fraudulent smiles of these the women that are up there right now. Barbara Mikulski. I've never seen a more... I don't know how to put it without sounding misogynistic, and I love women, respect women. I have never seen such unattractive women in the Democrat as those in the Democrat leadership. Shall I say it as a man? That's what I just said. Yes, they're unattractive. Their spirits are unattractive. And they can't hide it no matter how many smiley buttons they put on their hats. They can't hide the hatred that emanates from their very bodies. And that's all I want to say. There's nothing else I can say about it. You look in the auditorium, you see racist buttons. Once you vote black, you won't go back. Now, what if there was a button in the RNC that someone put on their hat that said, once you vote white, you'll be bright? I imagine that that would set off shockwaves through the world. I would think that that button would be shown around the world as an example of racism. But it says once you vote black, you won't go back. And the wonderful geniuses, the geniuses in the news business won't report on that button. All right. Well, it's pretty clear to me. God, Jerusalem, family, free market. Yeah. It's one versus the other. Sacramento, Walter, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage.
Go. You're on the air.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor speaking with you. I've been listening to you since 1996, religiously. I just wanted to, when you were talking about the wedding, the war memorial, I just would like to tell you that I'm from former Soviet Union, and that was actually the custom of every single young people who were getting married, they would go to the war memorial and pay respect to the soldiers who died for our freedom.
Unbelievable.
And, yes,
unbelievable.
Absolutely true.
Unbelievable. Well, I'm not from the Soviet Union. I'm from the United States of America, but I just intuitively knew that we had to say, do something to say thank you to the deceased, whether they were really present, whether their spirits were present, is up to anyone's imagination. It depends upon where your belief system is. Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for making that call. Sometimes I just do things intuitively, but whatever. It was a pretty amazing moment. I don't know how many people even remember it happened. Would have been a nice YouTube hit, I suppose, something akin to whatever. But, you know, see, the things that really matter don't wind up on YouTube. They wind up in your head tube. That's where they really matter. They wind up in your soul tube. That's where they really matter. The things that really matter don't wind up necessarily on YouTube. They wind up in your brain tube. The God and Jerusalem issue is going to come back to haunt the Democrats right through the election, because they said no to God in the platform. They said, no, we're not saying Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And apparently they put it back in through a fake vote, and the hall erupted in great boos and howls from the atheists in the audience. But this is something you didn't read. Drafters of this platform and top Democrats, including former Representative Robert Wexler, a Jew himself, defended the absence in the platform of language affirming Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Wexler, a Jewish American, stabbed Israel in the back. Wexler, of course, was thrown out of office in Florida, and he's worked around the clock with the atheists among the Jewish people to stab Israel in the back. And that's your Wexler for you. So Wexler joins Schumer. Wexler joins the others prominent in the American Jewish community. Some would add others. There's no point in naming them. You know who they are. Who are basically traitors to their own people. There's no other way to put it. It's as clear as that. You want me to mince words and put eloquence around it? They're traitors to their own people.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
In every race, there are traitors to their own people. It's as simple as that. There's no other way to put it. There comes a time where you have to see it for what it is and say it like it is. It's that simple. There's no other way to put it. So these are very, very important times for the world, for America. And we have a choice to make in a very short period of time. It's a greater importance than maybe even I imagine. It's not just one party or the other. It's not who really cares. They're really the same. No, it's much more profound than that. But according to the mystical rabbi I spoke to in the foggy, windy, cold night near the graveyard and near the wedding ceremony, Michael, don't worry, he said. God created it all. He created you, me, the graves, Obama. He said Obama was put here by God. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, before Obama, America was asleep. Obama was put here by God to awaken America to the road that we are on, the road to the ex-Soviet Union, the Soviet system. It doesn't start with the Soviet system after you've had a couple hundred years of freedom. You can't start with it. You have to go there slowly through the Fabian socialist ways that I've pointed out so meticulously and trickle up poverty and trickle down tyranny. They don't do it with gun butts anymore. They do it through careful manipulation, conventions, advertisements, shady things, beards, shadows, beards, things of that nature. But slowly, somehow, the truth is emerging that the Democrats don't believe in God and they don't want Israel to survive as a Jewish nation. Period. End of story. That's because their base doesn't want it. But apparently Obama and the big party backers, that should say big Jewish money, the ones who were still supporting them, went crazy. They became furious. And so the boos were heard, and they drowned out the yays, and they said it passed anyway. And Villagarosa was used as the messenger. The messenger was Villagarosa, who lied nakedly before the world. I think he's just destroyed himself
to the Democrat Party and to the bigger world. They were featuring him as some future, you know, Latino or a Hispanic who could run for a major. It's over. Because first of all, he just alienated his own party. Number two, America saw him as a thug, basically a demagogue thug who'll do anything for power. You know, it's all done behind the scenes that way. Anyway, but people finally saw it for what it was. Now he's going to be taken off the platform. He won't be featured after this. They made him the fall guy, basically, for this upset. So there we are. I mean, look, there's so many things we can talk about, and we will be talking about them from now through the election on a daily basis. It's getting heated up. It's getting very, very exciting. And the question to everybody is, how can they get away with such naked lies? Wisconsin, Charlie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you finally. About your dream, pretty amazing, actually. I think it has a lot of meaning to a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. But, you know, the souls of our greatest generation to be overwatching such a wedding like that, you know, to free an oppressed people like that, it's kind of no different than what's going on now. There's so many oppressed people, you know, in other countries that, you know, you don't even have to mention them. We all know who they are. And
I know, but how many different battles can America fight? When the troops themselves are not being supported by the commander-in-chief, how can you expect them to go fight for other people's freedom when the troops feel oppressed by them? Do you know that Leon Panetta won't even permit the troops overseas to vote? They're trying to block the American military from voting in the absentee ballot manner? Yeah, they're blocking the troops from voting because they know they don't like Obama.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that being said, a lot of troops don't like him, but, you know, I have a son deploying next Wednesday to a country we don't have to even talk about because we all know.
Yes.
He is so proud to serve it under a commander.
Well, I know that story touched you because you know your son is part of that continuum of men, in plain English, who are brave enough to put their life on the line for the freedom of Americans and the freedom of others who are oppressed. I mean, that's what you're basically saying.
Savage.
With Democrats passed health care reform to allow
I don't know if I want to listen to Nancy Pelosi. She gets me sick. She is one of the most perturbing individuals in the history of American government. How one of the wealthiest women in American history who has profited dearly during her reign and bashes the rich while she's one of the rich is astonishing to me. And how the fools, I look at her, I feel like I get cat scratch fever. Just watching the woman speak. And as the camera breaks away to the women in the audience, they're the type of women who make me feel itchy. I feel like I need to take a bath with brown soap. As I don't know how else to put it, I get an itchy feeling like I had an allergy attack as I listen to them and look at her, the lies, the cheating, the scandal surrounding her. I mean, you remember the visa scandal, don't you? That was hushed up quickly. You want to talk about something mild with Nancy Pelosi, the Honorable Nancy Pelosi? Do you remember that? When in November 2011, the show 60 Minutes alleged that Nancy Pelosi and several other members of Congress had used information they gleaned from closed sessions to make money on the stock market. And the 60 Minutes program cited Pelosi's purchases of Visa stock while a bill that would limit credit card fees was in the House. Nancy Pelosi is among the richest members of Congress with an estimated net worth of approximately $58 million, the 12th highest estimated net worth in Congress. I have nothing against her wealth. But the issue is, how can she bash wealthy? How can she identify with the Occupy movement and be taken seriously other than by brain-damaged, drug-addicted, a Democrat socialist? It's astounding to me. So turn it up for another second. Let's see how much more we can
vote
take
for
of this.
Medicare. Vote for President Obama.
See, health care, the biggest racket in the history of America. Turn it off. I can't listen. I want to repeat again how I want to tell you what this is. Back in the late 60s, I was exposed to communists at a university. And every last one of them was in favor of Castro-style health care. They used to boast about the great national health care in Cuba. That's all they talked about. That's all they talked about. And as you well know, health care was the linchpin of controlling every aspect of the economy. That's what Obamacare is. It's Soviet-era health care where everybody loses. The level of doctoring goes down into the gutter. The level of care goes down in the gutter. There are death panels. the prescriptions are no longer available. Innovation in medical advances dies because there's no longer an incentive for anybody to spend the billions of dollars it takes to develop a new drug. I was once a pharmacology grad student. You have no idea what it takes to put a to develop a drug and bring it to market. And yet this demagogue, Nancy Pelosi, this demagogue who's involved from top to bottom with corruption that you can't believe, from the central subway in San Francisco destroying the very Italian neighborhood called North Beach that she claims to love so much. The very Italian neighborhood that they all claim to love, her and Jerry Brown and the other good Democrats who feast and dine in the Italian restaurants, are literally undermining the entire Italian neighborhood from beneath. Just as they've undermined America like boring beetles underneath the country, they're undermining their very neighborhood that they claim to love so much. It's so clear, but you have to be a novelist to understand the symbolism of these people. And so therefore, since I am simply a novelist, simply explaining to you from a fictional point of view my view on politics, telling you about impossible dreams and impossible events that absolutely could not have occurred. That savage didn't go to a Jewish wedding. That savage didn't see a war memorial in the Presidio to the dead at the D-Day. He didn't dance with Hasidic Jews around the gravestone. He didn't have a dream about a green snake. He had no dream about souls being liberated from the headstones. No, we should believe hope. We should believe hope. We should believe our first bleak president. Yeah, you heard it first in the Savage Nation. They call him the first black president, but I call Obama our first bleak president because he's brought a bleakness to this country that we haven't seen in a very long time, if ever before. That's it. 1-800-449-8255. Time for a quick call. Pittsburgh, PA, Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I am the son of two Holocaust survivors, and the things that I'm hearing from the Democrats and the left are just outrageous. It upsets me to no end. The fact that they took out God and Jerusalem and issues regarding supporting Israel from their platform and then forced it back in just for obvious political reasons. They knew that they were hurt by that and as well.
Shouldn't be shocked by it. Obama and his politics in Reverend Wright's church were signaled to America. Reverend Wright hates Jews, hates America, hates Israel, hates everything that we stand and love in this country. And Obama sat and sucked it up like a sponge for 20 years. Obama is Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton in a new package. Well, do you think there's something new under the sun? The atheists in the Democrat Party, who clearly are the party of atheists. I mean, what do you have to do? You have to spell it out. Of course there are some people who are religious in the party. Of course there are some people who believe in God in the party. But the party itself stands for atheism and stands against the free market, stands against big government, state-run bureaucracies controlling the economy and controlling healthcare, controlling virtually everything that we eat, think, say, and do. On the other side, you have a bunch of meek, older white men who still believe in God, still believe in family, still believe in raising children, and still believe, most importantly, in letting people develop businesses on their own, letting people develop their lives on their own, and being left alone by the oppressive, overbearing, snoopy-doopy government under Obama. Sacramento Roy, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. That's Roy in San Francisco, Mike, and I've listened to you since you were started here, and I've rooted for you because you're my Daniel.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Daniel in the lion's den. But you can only take so much hot breath, you know, till eventually you want to put some Lavoris on in the lion's mouth.
He was the victor. And your program today, oh, that excited me. This has been one of your top ones. And all the way through, all of your...
You know, Roy, I felt revitalized last night. I felt my spirit had an electric charge put in it, being around those graves and around that wedding. It was a really positive experience for me, and being next to that memorial for the D-Day dead, next to that was occurring right there at that religious Jewish wedding, was astonishing to me. The symbolism was overwhelming. I will never forget it. I'll tell that story repeatedly. I'll take people by the arm and tell them that it happened and it really happened. In fact, maybe I should lead a group to that very D-Day memorial so that people can see it's real. What do you think of that, Roy? Should I tell people to meet me at the memorial and see how many people show up?
Oh, listen. it's something that would surprise people that
it's there. You know where it is? It's right. It's right adjacent to the non-commissioned. It's to the enlisted men's. It's they had the wedding at the enlisted men's service hall, whatever it's called. It wasn't the officers' hall. It was the enlisted men's hall. They had a nice facility for them there. And apparently they rented out for weddings and such. But near it was that stone dedicated to the men who died on D-Day. It was very clear. But D-Day has such symbolism, especially for Jewish people, that should never be forgotten. The debt owed to the American soldier by the Jewish people is eternal. Let's put it to you that way. It's eternal. If there'd be no Jewish people had that war been lost. Do you understand that? And so any veteran listening to this show should hear this. It's very important that you know that many people understand this. Whether you were at D-Day doesn't matter. Most of you weren't. Whether your father or uncle died at D-Day doesn't really matter here. What matters is that if you're in that tradition, you have to understand how much you're loved by so many in this country. Maybe you don't feel that way because of the atheist, anti-military hater in the White House, surrounded by those left-wing, pinko police haters and military haters. But make no mistake about it, most Americans love you very dearly. That's why the SEALs are loved so much, and that's why Obama is now even attacking a SEAL for publishing a book which blows the lid on the big lie. Yeah, it goes on and on and on. There's so much to talk about. The big news, and you shouldn't forget it, is the Democrats overruled their own delegates, and they rammed God and Jerusalem back into the platform over the boos and the jeers of their own spiteful audience of America-hating, welfare-loving grifters called the Democrat Party USA Today. It's shocking to me how clear it is. If you only open your eyes, right now we have a choice in America between the anti-God, anti-free market, Democrat society and the Republicans. Richard Trumka, you got to listen to this man. Not only does he look like he is, but he acts like he looks. Listen carefully.
Keeping us safe, serving our food, driving our buses, and cleaning up after the party's over. And when we go home tonight...
Okay, now Trumka is the head of the AFL-CIO, a union with a storied past where in the past the FBI knew who they were. Today, God knows, only knows what the FBI is doing. But in the spring of 1993, Trumka, while head of the United Mine Workers of America, ordered more than 17,000 mine workers to walk off their jobs. Moreover, he explicitly instructed striking miners to kick the SH out of every last one of their fellow employees and mine operators who resisted union demands. In response, United Mine Worker enforcers vandalized homes, fired gunshots at a mine office, and cut off the power supply to another mine, temporarily trapping 93 miners on the ground. Then on July 22nd, 1993, this Sterling Trumka, who was chosen by Obama to speak, a UMW member shot 39-year-old non-union worker Eddie York in the back of the head. The rest is history. And rather than take any disciplinary action against the UMW strikers who had behaved like murderers and so badly, Trumka explained in an AP interview, this is the same man speaking right now in Charlotte, if you strike a match and put your finger in, common sense tells you you're going to burn your finger. This is the level that this country has come to. That all of the lessons that were learned over the last 100 years have seemed to have been erased in the great with the great eraser of the media. The American people don't even know what they're looking at. They see a face of hate, and they think it's a face of love. They see buttons inside the convention hall. Racial buttons. Did you hear about the buttons yet? Once you vote black, you won't go back. Big buttons on people's hats. Vote black buttons hit convention hall. Once you vote black, you won't go back. Once you vote black, you never go back. Obama 2012. This is what's going on in the United States of America today. It's right out of Animal Farm. A hall filled with racists who are screaming at anyone who says we don't go along with your racism, that you're a racist. This is a party of division, of hate, and of appropriating others' earnings. Then you have on the other side a group of meek white men, basically. They're meek. Meek white men who are God-fearing, who love family, who respect their wives and raise their children. And the American people don't seem to know what they're voting for. They think it's a difference between A and B, but it isn't. It's a difference between today and yesterday. It's a difference between a chance for your children's survival or a chance for all of us to live in the gulag of the United States of America under these demonic leaders of the so-called Democrat Socialist Party USA. I think I've said all I want to say. If you just tuned in, you missed probably one of my more interesting hours. And if you want to talk about the wedding story, or you want to talk about the fact that the Democrats just ran over the boos of the atheist Israel haters who make up the majority of the delegates to the convention, we can talk about that. This is the biggest news of all of the campaigns so far, which is that the Democrat National Socialist Committee suspended the rules of the convention and put language regarding God and Israel back into its platform. And they had to vote three times, and then they had to lie to pass it. But even though they passed it, and even though the measure putting God and Israel back into the platform failed a voice vote, Villa Garosa of Los Angeles said it passes by a majority. In other words, he lied. You hear the A's and you hear the nays, and you hear after he says it passed the loud boos. The loud boos, because they dared put the word include God in the language about Jerusalem as the capital of Israel back into the platform of the DNC. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you have a clear choice. And I don't have to tell you what that choice is. I think you know what that choice is. The Dems are left-wing extremists all. And there's no fooling people anymore. I mean, they're nakedly what they are. They can put all the smiley faces and smiley buttons in front of that Cracker Barrel that they want. But I see it for what it is. It's very clear what it is to me. If you care to talk about my stories or the invention, booing, putting God back, or the Democrats running around with racial buttons that say once you vote black, you won't go back, or the apparent demographics of the audience or the union thugs, go ahead. Make my day. Sitting next to me is an empty chair.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
I went to a store to buy a new bread knife. I have bread knives, but I needed a new one. I wanted a sharp one. So, like, you make mistakes. So I go in the store. They're all very expensive. You want the Wusthof, the Hustorf, the sauerkraut. Okay, give me the Wusthof. It was the cheapest one in this store. So, like a fool, I said, well, is it sharp? The bread knife. She says, yes, it's very sharp. I said, well, I'll tell you why. You're ringing it up. Open it for me. Let me look at it. I wasn't paying attention. My mind was on something else. I actually had bicycled to the store, and I wanted to buy a bread knife. My mind, I'm pulling out the credit card. I open the box. I run my finger over the serrated edge and cut it almost to the bone. So now the blood's running all over the store over a bread knife. Well, what did I run my finger over a bread knife for? It's like a kid. Let me see if the fire's hot. So she says to the other clerk, quick, get him a Band-Aid. All right, get me a Band-Aid. So she gets me the Band-Aid, and the woman brings it over and opens it up for me. I said, I don't want a Band-Aid you've opened up. So she says, well, I'm a nurse. I said, I don't care what you are. I said, please give me a Band-Aid that you didn't open up. I said, you mean well, but I don't want an open Band-Aid. So anyway, I bicycled home. I didn't die from it, but, didn't stop bleeding. It's one of those cuts. What am I getting at? I'm getting at that things happen to you when you least expect it. Innocent thing, buying a bread knife, cut your finger. Now, am I going to die tomorrow from sepsis? I hope not. My neck's stiff, like the kid. Already I feel a stiff neck. No, I'm getting like what's the illness when you think you have illness? Hypochondria. I have all the symptoms of the kid who got sepsis 3 days later. Within 2 hours already, my neck is stiff. I got a headache. It's probably from the bad lunch. I'm going to start talking about the bad lunch. No, I did. I ate leftovers today. Awful. If I skip on a meal and don't cook a meal, I don't like cold food. But I don't want to complain, I'm trying to tell you things happen. The guy who got the down in the basement on that show really freaked me out. The kid has Down syndrome. The wife loses the job. His practice dries up. He gets thrown out of his house. And he goes to clean the basement out, and he gets an illness from the rat droppings and dies. I cannot believe the things that happen to people. But, you know, I remember when I was a graduate student a very long time ago, one of the first courses I took that intrigued me was on, I forget the name of the course. At that time, I was commuting. I was a school teacher, a high school teacher, driving to CW Post College at night on Long Island to take a couple of courses. Oh, one was in microbiology, I remember. I was fascinated by the microbiology course. Oh, and the other was in parasitology. That's right, parasitology. And I remember reading the textbook and seeing the odd illnesses that people have, the diseases, rather, that people have contracted through the ages. I could not believe some of the things that happen to people. And one that stuck in my mind for many decades was of an Indian man in India who dove in rivers for various things, pearls or whatever. And he developed an illness, a viral infection of his nasal passages, that resulted in a small trunk that looked like an elephant's trunk that grew from his nose, became like an elephant's trunk. I said, I can't believe my eyes. It looks like a man who became an elephant. So given that I'm somewhat mystical in my view of the world and somewhat spiritually mystical and also somewhat scientific, I said, this may be an illness and it may be related to this particular virus. But to me, it looks like the reincarnation, a reincarnation of an individual. In this life, maybe he was mean to an elephant in a past life. You see, this is how I try to sort things out in my own mind. Does it make sense? To me, it did. Not anymore. I'm too much of a pragmatist today. Savage.